What I want to address here in this gospel, in one sense, is seemingly pretty simple. In the wisdom tradition in the Old Testament that produced the wisdom of Solomon and the books of Sirach or Ecclesiasticus or Ecclesiastes or the Proverbs or the Psalms, a bunch of the Psalms, and aspects of the prophetic literature, there's a thing called the two ways. There are two ways. The way of foolishness or the way of wisdom. So in the Proverbs it says, a fool does like this, and the wise person acts like this. And a lot of folks have taken it as, it's kind of great advice for daily living and whatnot. But I think at least I find in the Gospel of Mark, first of all, I find that same two paths distinguished in it subtly. And at least to me, it speaks at a different level than just, here's good advice. A stitch in time saves nine. Okay, it's different from that. And there's a great little verb in Greek, thelo, which means to wish, to want, to choose. It's translated in various ways depending on the passage. And what I want to do is just look at how Mark uses that term, because to me anyway, it describes the two paths. And the first thing we hear today is James and John coming up and saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. We wish, we choose. Would you, it's the verb thelo again. What do you want me to do for you? Now, the path of foolishness in the same gospel, in the same word, appears two chapters later. Jesus said to them, beware the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, who wish to walk around in long robes, to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. Okay, we always think of the nasty Pharisees and scribes, but what's James and John asking for? They want to sit up front. They want to be recognized, but not seen. I'm going to come back to that one. That's the simple distinction. That's the path of foolishness. Here's what Jesus says in different passages in Mark. If you wish to be my follower, if any wish to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Offered as the path of wisdom. That's chapter 8. Chapter 9, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will gain it. In chapter 9, Jesus confronts the disciples, what were you arguing about on the way? They were arguing about who was the greatest. He sat down and said, whoever wishes to be first, same verb, thelo, whoever wants to be first must be the last of all and the servant of all. At chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10 is today's gospel. It is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you, same verb, must be the servant of all. And the last thing, chapter 14, Jesus is in the garden praying. Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I wish, fellow, but what you wish, fellow. So even Jesus struggled with the path of wisdom. Okay, what's the deal? The question is what, for me anyway, is what are the James and John, what are they doing here? They're seeking, like many of us seek, at least I know I do, to be recognized and not seen. And what recognition does is inflate the ego so that a person feels big and rather and not unworthy or fearful or lonely or inadequate. And the path of foolishness, which, you know, it's kind of what we naturally do as kids. We don't want to be small. We don't want to be picked on. We want to be bigger. We want to feel stronger. And as we grow, we live with that illusion, and it takes on ever more interesting facets to itself. So a simple thing like this. Okay, there should be another 200 people in here tonight, but they're home watching the Packers, and my ego can't stand it. Because I still struggle with the path and my desire not to be a creature of God, but to be bigger than that and less afraid. What Jesus is saying, if you wish to be my disciple, if you want to lose your life, become the servant and the slave of all. When we take it that baldly, being the slave of all is not like being codependent and trying to build ourselves up and not feel small by helping others. Rather, it's learning that we are creatures of God and we're vulnerable. We want certainty. We're offered faith. We want to be greater than anyone and everyone, all comers. And what our creatureliness says is, you have a place in the world, and it's wise to accept that. And more than that, it's the embrace of, as Jesus did in the garden, take this cup from me, but not as I will, as you will. So it seems to me that the instruction is about learning the wisdom of being a creature, but the place where the teaching is directed is at the part of our lives that says, no, I will conquer. Especially us guys. Those Packers will not lose. Because we're so wounded in our hearts, our lives, and need to pretend. And the path of wisdom says, what would it be like if you don't have to pretend and live with the drama of fear? So as we go on to pray, what we do at the altar in the Eucharistic prayer is give thanks to God for redemption. And what the preface before we say the Holy, Holy, what that says is that We thank you. You have fashioned out of our, whatever the word is, sinfulness or whatever, a remedy for our mortality. That God takes what we fear most and makes it a remedy toward our salvation. That's what we give thanks for. Let's take a moment then to consider how we could pray for our world, for our church, and for one another.